So the book of Numbers, as we have been focusing our attention on this book of Numbers, it talks about primarily walking in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, and also to be able to experience God in the wilderness experiences, in the desert kind of situations in our lives. We have a God who will lead us through. I may request some of us to read in other languages, so please have your Bibles in hand so that you can help in reading in other languages for the benefit of each one of us. Please help in distributing as well. Thank you. Numbers. Why is it called Numbers? Because there's a count of people that were done. The count was done. The census was taken. And that is why it is called number. Number of people who came out of the land of Egypt, etc. So we have completed 20 chapters of Numbers. I don't know if you have been reading your Bible. Maybe you have taken a resolution to read your Bible on January 1st. I want to start Genesis first chapter. We are almost into half of this month. We are past half of the month of January. I don't know if you are still continuing reading your Bible or already you have missed on your resolution. So the point is, it's not about taking resolutions, but to be able to really continue meditating on the Word of God. And please join with me for today's key verse that is related to what we are going to meditate, but it is not taken from that book, but it is taken from the next book, which is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy. We are going to meditate on the book of Deuteronomy, God willing, in a couple of weeks now. Just to let you know, for those who have not been following up with us, we have been meditating on the Bible from the beginning onwards. Many truths that we have been learning. Many times we want to learn some topics in the Bible. That's one way to be able to meditate upon. But understanding the whole purpose of God, understanding the whole counsel of God from the beginning onwards, very essential. And that is what each one of us are taking this opportunity to learn. So do join us as the weeks go by as well. So please read this verse along with me. And later I ask you, maybe in another language, if you can read this as well. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 and 4 altogether, please. And shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory." Wonderful verse. It is a great segue from the worship time that we had, related to the battles that we have been meditating upon. Sure, it was not a coincidence, but it was in the plan of God for us to focus our attention upon the battles. And it's very important for us to worship the Lord. If you are not worshiping people, then focusing on the Word of God may not be as helpful. So be part of a worshiping congregation as well. So anyone, please, can you please read it in another language? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 and 4. What a wonderful verse this is. He's the one who gives us victory. He's the one who saves us, it says in some other translations. Today, we are going to meditate upon this particular story of the people of Israel who came out of the land of Egypt. Just as a quick recap, we cannot repeat everything, but we can have a quick recap. Just to let you know, this is a real event that has happened. There is geography against it as well, which really tells us as to what we are meditating upon. Sometimes visualizing it geographically also helps us. So that's why I'm going to show you some pictures in order to be able to have a better understanding of what we read. I don't know how many of you read the book of Numbers. I'm asking, read meaning understood. Do we know what is there in the book of Numbers? It is a continuation of the book of Exodus. Did you know that? It's a continuation. This is what the incidents that have happened during the period of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. This is how it is. The land of Egypt and the land of Canaan. The people of Israel during the time of Jacob, or for that matter Joseph, because of the famine, they travel all the way to Egypt and stay there for 400 plus years. They were slaves in Egypt. And then they travel under the leadership of Moses to Canaan. They could have gone the highway, but God let them go through the Red Sea all the way down and then all the way through these places into the land of Canaan. So that is the story of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. Exodus just talks about travel from Egypt to Sinai. That's all. It doesn't talk beyond it. Exodus talks only the travel from Egypt to Sinai. Numbers talks about travel from Sinai all the way to the border of Jordan River. That's it. Doesn't even talk about entry into the land of Canaan. So that is how we link both of them. This was how it was. And if it is now, if you want to relate it to today, this is how it is. Egypt still remains Egypt. And in the continent, the country of Egypt, of Africa, this Sinai Peninsula is. Midian is now the Saudi Arabia. Edom, Moab, Ammon, all these places is today's Jordan, the country of Jordan. The country of Jordan is east of the Jordan River. The west of the Jordan River is Israel. And you know these places, these Middle East areas, where we typically tend to hear a lot of news in the current day affairs as well. Just to give you a picture as then and now how the things are. There's a picture that I've been showing in the past as well. Today, we will try to complete that picture as well. That is this picture. From Egypt, as per Exodus 12, in the first year, first month, they leave Egypt. God brings them out, exit. Exodus means come out. That is what has happened in Exodus chapter 12. The day they came out of the land of Egypt is the beginning of a Hebrew calendar. First year, first month. Coming out, being redeemed. Redeemed people have a new calendar in their lives. Redeemed people have new calendars in their lives. The ones who receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, having been in a sinful nature as Egypt, bondage of sin, when we come out, when we experience Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, your life, spiritual life, begins there. Many times we celebrate our birthdays. Wonderful. Do we celebrate our spiritual birthdays? Do you know when you were born again? Sometimes people don't know. But do you know whether you are born again or not? That's very important. But some people should even remember, if they can, the day they were born again as well. Born again. It could be on the day you were baptized or it could be before. Don't always call baptism day as a born again day. It could be on the same day. I'm not denying it. But there should be a time in your life where your life has changed. And you have come out of that old nature and you have started a new life. A new journey has begun. So that is Exodus chapter 12. And then God allows them to go through the Red Sea, through Mara, Elim, Rephidim, and into Mount Sinai. It took them close to around 2 months plus. First year, third month, they arrive at Mount Sinai. From that first year, third month to second year, second month, they remained in Mount Sinai. God gave them the commandments, gave them the law. Moses went up and down. He stayed there 40 days and 40 nights twice. All that is recorded from Exodus chapter 19 all the way to Numbers 10, including the book of Leviticus in between. All that has happened, just a matter of a year or so, these many chapters were recorded, Exodus chapter 19 to Numbers 20, Numbers chapter 10. And then God tells them, now leave. They leave from Mount Sinai in Numbers chapter 10. They pass through this part of the sea. By the way, Red Sea is split. This is like a gulf. Red Sea here in the bottom as well. So when you read in the Bible Red Sea, it could be this Red Sea or this Red Sea. Because both are Red Seas. Okay? And then they travel all the way and stop at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh means holy. Kadosh means holiness. God wanted to teach them some lessons. At Kadesh, Moses sends 12 people to the land of Canaan to spy around. They come back. 10 of them say it's a bad land. Don't go there. Only 2 people, Joshua and Caleb, say it's a good land. Let us go. So people listen to the majority. And God said, these people who came out of the land of Egypt will not enter into the land of Canaan. They will wander in the wilderness for 40 years total. So for another 38 years, they'll be wandering in the Numbers chapter 13 to chapter 20. That is where we have meditated upon. Later, we see that they travel all the way from here to close to Jordan. That is what we are going to meditate in Numbers chapter 22, verse 20, chapter 25. Different depictions. You see this Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea. There are multiple other seas also. I want to show you another way of depiction here. Different seas here, Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea is down here, which we can't see at this place. And then there is something called Salt Sea or Dead Sea. Dead Sea is here. And then there is a Sea of Galilee. By the way, going forward, most of our study in the Bible will be focused in this area. In this area. But during this time of people of Israel traveling into Canaan, these were the various people that were ruling. Edom. Edom is another name for Esau, the brother of Jacob. They're called Edomites. And then Moabites. Moab is a son of Lot through illicit relationships with his daughter. He ends up having Moab and Ammon, these two. They become enemies to Israelites. And then there are Amorites, two kinds here, Sihon, Og, and Bashan. These are all the things. There are rivers that separate these places. There's a river that separates Edom and Moab that is called Zered. There's a small river. You know, typically rivers separate states as well. Potomac River, it separates Virginia and Maryland and sometimes DC as well. There are different rivers that separate districts as well. So River Zered, if you read River Zered, that is in between Edom and Moab. River Arnon is here in between Moab and Amorites and Ammonites. This particular division is River Arnon. River Jabbok separates this Ammon and Og and Sihon, Amorites, but they divide into two. So that is how Jabbok is. And this river that is there connecting Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea is called the Jordan River. So these are the various rivers. Why am I sharing with you all of this? Because you are going to hear these words as we meditate on the Word of God. Okay? And that is what I'm just giving you a visual picture as to what we are meditating upon. The land of Canaan is in the west of Jordan River. This green area that is primarily the land of Canaan. But God let them travel all the way like this and then get into Canaan. God allows His way to be able to be happening in our lives, not our way. Our way is always a highway. But God lets us go through wilderness experiences in order to teach us lessons. God allows us to go through waiting experiences. Just like this people of Israel waited for up to 40 years in order to be able to enter into the promised land. My dear, Book of Numbers teaches us what it means to walk in the wilderness, to wander in the wilderness, and also to be able to experience victories in the wilderness. Today's sermon is titled, Victories in the Wilderness. May the Lord enable us to teach us important lessons. You are here. Maybe you are thinking that, okay, I'm here because I have to attend a church. But God has a purpose in speaking to you this morning in order to be able to teach us some important lessons. And may you have an undivided attention, each one of us, because God might have something to speak to you this morning. And may the Lord enable us. Two things that we are going to meditate as part of the victories in the wilderness. That is battles and blessings. Battles and blessings. Very interestingly, we thank God for He has already given us a good introduction during the worship time about battles. The Lord of hosts, He is the one who fights the battles for us. And in this particular chapters, chapter 21 and 2 verse chapter 25, please have your Bibles open. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll give you a Bible. You can own that Bible also. That's okay. You can take the Bible with you. But it's important for us to have our Bibles so that we can have a better focus, concentration on the living Word of God. Just to give you a small background of this particular chapter, chapter 20, it talks about, as I was mentioning last week also, This is the saddest chapter in the book of Numbers. Saddest chapter. The death of Miriam, the rebellion of Moses and Aaron, the death of Aaron. Terrible incidents that have happened. In all this, God allowed them to leave Kadesh Barnea. That is what we see here in verse 14. God let them leave Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea, if you want to just understand where we are, they are already in the land of Canaan, but they didn't know that. Kadesh Barnea is right here on the bottom tip of the intersection of Edom and Canaan is Kadesh Barnea. You cannot see it from a distance, but I'm trying to pinpoint here. This is Kadesh Barnea. They are at the edge, almost there, but not there yet. 40 years, actually 38 years in Kadesh Barnea, total of 40 years. 38 years they were going around Kadesh Barnea, but they could not occupy the land of Canaan. They were in Kadesh Barnea. Now they wanted to pass through. They did not go this way. They did not know that this was the way God let them go through here. So they wanted to go through Edom. So in chapter 20, Moses tries to reach out to the Edomites, saying that we'll go through the highway, will not affect anything. Can you let us go? And the Edomites said, sorry, you cannot go. That is the background. Okay. So now what are they going to do? They're going to go down under through the border of Edom and then go to Moab. Again, a long journey. You see that? That is what's going to happen. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, we'll see the first battle. Please note it down. King of Arad, Canaanite. King of Arad, Canaanite. This is the battle against King of Arad. Arad, a Canaanite. Again, just to give you a picture, it's always good to get a picture of it, as I was telling you. Arad is here. They're almost there, but they did not occupy this main land of Canaan. They're trying to occupy little by little. This is Arad, okay? Canaanite. So King of Arad, Canaanite. So what happened here? They got to know that these people of Israel are going to come and occupy the land. So what did they do? They took some of them captive. So the people of Israel make a vow to the Lord in verse 2. If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities. If you will indeed deliver these people into my hands, I will utterly destroy their cities. This particular small phrase you will see going forward in multiple books of the Bible. And English Standard Version, out of all the English versions, English Standard Version uses a small phrase, interestingly. And I was taken into that particular phrase. And that phrase in the English Standard Version is devoted to destruction. That is a small phrase, devoted to destruction. When God enables us to fight battles, he says, you fully devote these things to destruction. Don't get anything out of there. Completely destroy them. That is what is called devoted to destruction. I am devoting this city entirely to destruction so that God will take care of it. And you will see that repeatedly used. This is the first time that we see here. Devoted to destruction. When you are in a battle and God lets you fight in those battles, and we are told to devote it completely to destruction, you cannot say, oh, this is a nice thing. Let me take a few of the fatted calves. Let me take a new good things and bring it with me, and then I will try to do something. That is what has happened to King Saul. Just to let you know, we will meditate upon it when we go to 1 Samuel. But just want to give you a background. Devoted to destruction is going to be repeatedly coming as we go through Numbers and then Judges and Joshua, Judges and all that to 1 Samuel as well. And then Lord heard their voice. Wonderfully, we see here in verse 3. Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. This is the first time I hear that the people of Israel directly cried out to the Lord. They always wanted Moses to do it on their behalf. But here we see they cried out to the Lord directly. God heard their cry directly. You see that? Even in the Old Testament, many times we think, oh, we have to go through a priest or someone in order to be able to pray unto God. These people directly had a connection with God. What could be the reason? Moses is all alone now. His brother Aaron, his sister Miriam died. Moses was told that you're not going to enter into the land of Canaan. Moses already might be going through so much in his heart of hearts. He has to lead these people, but he is told that he cannot enter into the promised land. He might be going through so much of stress, distress, discouragement in his life as a leader. When we study this character of Moses, really, we can learn things, and probably Israelites thought, okay, let's cry out to the Lord. Maybe they cried out to the Lord directly. And then the Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. He delivered them. Then they utterly destroyed them, devoted to destruction. That is why it was called Horma. Horma means destruction, devoted to destruction. Okay? And then verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Egypt. Again, I just want us to go back in this picture. They try to go Aram and try to capture it. And now, because Edomites didn't allow, they went all the way through the Red Sea. You see this Red Sea, not this Red Sea, but this Red Sea. They went through this way around Edom into Moab. Sometimes it's good to have a visual picture. It gives us a better understanding, because maybe you might have read it n number of times or you never read it. But this will give us a better focus and attention and trying to know that I'm really studying God's word because I understand it. So they went all the way about Edom, the border of Edom, through the Red Sea, means they came down. I tell you, first of all, from Egypt to Canaan is such a short way. They had to come down. That's one painful thing. And then they had to stay here. And then they had to go up. They had to stay there for 38 years. Okay, 38 years over. Finally. Finally, we are coming out of the land of Kadesh. They went up. They could have just gone up. Canaan is right up there. What happened? They went down all the way. Because the Edomites didn't allow them to pass through like this, they went down. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 21. Verse 4. They set out from Mount Hor by the way of Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. People became impatient. Please read in any other language in verse 4. 21:4. You see that because of the journey, because of the route that they are taking, they became discouraged in the spirit, in other words. They became impatient, it says in some English translations. Impatience. How many times when God allows us to go roundabout journey, that we become discouraged, we could become impatient, and we might speak things that we are not supposed to speak. We might stop praying. We might keep complaining. We might keep grumbling. We might keep murmuring. What is this journey? I wish I was in Egypt. In sin, it would have been better. I came out of the land of Egypt. God redeemed. And He is making me go through all this wilderness journey in my life. Why? Is this what a Christian life is? Is this wilderness experience a life of a Christian? Let me tell you, the answer is yes. God allows us to go through wilderness experience to teach us lessons. He has given us a promised land. He has given us an eternal life. He has promised us an eternal life. But on earth, while we are on, we might go through difficulties, let me tell you. God is not promising your best life now. He is promising best life in eternal life. He is preparing us to eternal life. You may be going through ups and downs in your life the way these people are going through. Can't you relate? Can't we relate to this kind of incidents in our lives? When we go through these incidents in our lives, how we respond to those incidents in our lives makes a difference between God's people and worldly people. Joblessness, sickness, problems, don't believers have them? Worldly people also have it. Believers also will have it. What's the difference? How you respond to them is the difference. How you take those things and try to say, Lord, I know you will give me victory in this. I believe in you. But during those times, sometimes when we are going through our wilderness journey, we go through impatience, discouragements in our lives. That is what is happening in these people. They just had a victory. They just had a victory. One of the battles they won, they have devoted to destruction. They know that God is able to deliver them. But now what happened in verse 4? They became impatient. They were discouraged. Our Christian life is like that, my dear brothers and sisters. We just had God answer our prayers. God took care of certain situations in our lives. Suddenly the next day or the next week, something else happens. We go down. We start questioning God, forgetting that the God who is with us, he will give us a victory. So what happened here? Verse 5. Such a terrible thing that has happened when I was reading through Numbers chapter 21 and verse 5. Thus people spoke. Notice this. The people spoke against God and Moses. People spoke against God and Moses. They spoke against God and God's people. God's anointed, in other words. A leader whom God has kept. They spoke against both of them. You know what they said? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? To die in the wilderness? To die in the wilderness? Why did you bring us out? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Please read in any other language, verse 5. This miserable food, you know what they're referring to? Manna. God gave them manna for 40 years. They didn't need to do anything, just God was raining down manna to them. They became impatient. When they became impatient, they started saying, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Many times we think before we became Christians, life was better. Why did I become one? May I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, God has a purpose in fulfilling his promise in our lives, even though it goes through wilderness experience. Didn't they have food? Didn't God provide them quails? Didn't they have water? Even though when they were quarreling at Meribah, didn't God give them water? They forgot everything. When we are going through a problem presently, sometimes we forget everything about the past. It becomes darkened. Whatever God has done for me in the past, we forget everything and start complaining to God. Lord, what is this going on in my life? Why am I going through this? Forgetting that, oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. We don't do that. We don't remember the wondrous things God has done for us in our life. No wonder Psalm 103, it says, forget not any of his benefits. Because in our current situation of trouble that we are going through, we can survive based on what God has done in our past and prepare us for the future. That is what are the lessons that you and I need to learn. God was not happy with these people. These people, I just delivered them from the king of Arad, the Canaanite. Now they are complaining again. You know what God did? This may be a very familiar story for you, but now you know the context. Verse 6, God sent fiery serpents, snakes. That is when they came to Moses and said, verse 7, so the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Because we have spoken against the Lord and you. When God let the snakes come and bite them, that is when they realize sometimes God has to teach us lessons through a hard way. Through some difficulties God allows us to let us go through so that our hearts may be turned towards him. So if you see here, you know what they said in verse 7? We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. When we speak against the Lord and God's people, we are sinning. Did you know that? And also it says, intercede with the Lord. Now they cannot speak to God directly. Now they're saying, Moses, please, I don't know how to show my face in front of God. Where we don't know. So can you intercede on our behalf? So that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. When I thought about this Moses. Moses is already going through so much. His sister and brother are no more. He himself is not going to go into the promised land. But he has to lead these people. He knows that he is not going to enter into Canaan. But he still has to lead the people. I can't imagine. Moses could have just given up. Oh God, if I'm not going to, why? I just give up. He could have said. He did not give up. As a leader, he did not give up these people. He said, he went and interceded for the people. Moses, wonderful man of God. Though he rebelled against God, though he lost the blessing of seeing Canaan or entering into Canaan for that matter, he was able to see it but could not enter. He still continued his leadership by interceding on behalf of the people. And the Lord said, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, on a pole. It shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent. So I want us to please note the second point here, which is a blessing. Blessing of a bronze serpent. Note it down, very important. Blessing of bronze serpent. It says here in verse 9, and Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the pole, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. When he looked to the bronze serpent. Very important. Just looking at the bronze serpent. Looking to it. He lived. You might already have connected these verses in your heart of hearts, but just want to give you some scriptural references. Please join with me in reading these scriptural references related to this, Numbers chapter 21 and verse 9. Please read along with me. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Look and live. You know what they did? They lived. You know what they did? Throughout their journey, they carried the bronze serpent. Throughout their journey. Read 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. Join with me in reading that. This is talking about King Hezekiah. We will meditate upon him as the months go by. King Hezekiah. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah, which is one of the goddesses. And he also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it. And it was called Nehushtan. Means bronze. From this point, Numbers 21 onwards, all the way to 2 Kings chapter 18, what were they doing? They were burning incense to that bronze serpent. God just made it a symbol. Not an idol. What did these people do? They made an idol out of it. Let me share with you. Certain things that happen, sometimes this thing has really brought me betterment in my life. I got a job because of that thing in my house. I'll carry that with me all through. To the extent of people, you know what they did? They started burning incense to it. Don't make an idol out of the thing that God made it as a symbol. At the time of King Hezekiah, it was destroyed. And then John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, Jesus Christ referred to this in his conversation with Nicodemus in the night that he was having the conversation. Jesus says this, verses 14 and 15. Please join with me in reading this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, let's continue. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. That is the context. John 3:16 is so wonderfully referred to, but the context of this is verses 14 and 15, which is related to the bronze serpent. Did you know that? How wonderful this whole Bible is interweaved. How wonderful it is that we are able to understand the whole counsel of God from the beginning to the end. What a wonderful God we have, my dear. When I was meditating upon this, this is what it means to study God's word. The serpent in the wilderness is referred to. It had to be destroyed during the King Hezekiah's time so that John chapter 3 verse 14 will be fulfilled. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. And you know that this is what has happened. The bronze serpent that Moses has created is a shadow of the Son of Man, who is going to be lifted up onto the cross. Bronze is a symbolism of judgment. Bronze altar, brazen altar outside, the judgment of God. The brazen laver, talking about the judgment of God, that if you wash yourself, only then you will be cleansed. Bronze represents judgment. Serpent. Jesus Christ became that serpent for us. He became sin for us. The serpent is a symbolism of sin. When Jesus was lifted up onto the cross, he took the punishment of your sin and my sin. He became sin for us. He became that serpent for us. The serpent in the wilderness is none other than Jesus Christ being fulfilled in him. What a wonderful, my dear. How Moses' incident is related to the sacrifice and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Because of that, whoever, it says, what does it say? Sorry. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You look at him and you will live. You believe in him, you will have eternal life. How Jesus connected those two stories. Okay, let's move on. Now they are in the travel. Numbers chapter 21. Back to Numbers chapter 21. They are now traveling all the way down from Edom. Now that they have experienced the bronze serpent, they now thought, okay, now Lord, I'm ready to travel. That's okay. Even if you have to go down all the way, I will go. Because you are with us. Even if it takes for us long journey, even if it is a waiting time, I will go with you, Lord. I don't want to take shortcuts. Bronze serpent, thank you for the blessing of the bronze serpent, that you have taught us lessons. You have redeemed us. You have made us live by looking at the bronze serpent. We will move on. You see that? It's a blessing God has given in the wilderness, a bronze serpent. And while they were traveling, God knows our needs. You know what happened in verse 16? In verse 16, from there they continued to Be'er. It is pronounced beer, but the word Be'er means well, just to let you know. It's not beer, the one which people tend to talk. It is not the alcohol that we are talking about. Beer in Hebrew means well. Be'er Sheba means well of oath. Beer means well. So God took them to a well. And then in verse 16, that is a well where the Lord said to Moses, assemble the people that I may give them water. God knows where to give water. How to give water. They didn't even ask. The bronze serpent changed their lives forever. They are traveling. They kept on traveling. God knew where to stop them. Rest area. In order to be able to have water, God provided water. And the moment when they were given water, you know what they did? Verse 17. Israel sang this song. Please note it down. Blessing of water. Overflowing water. Water in the Bible represents the rivers of water springing out, represents Holy Spirit of God. Or water also represents the word of God. The blessing of water, the spiritual blessings, if we want to relate it to. The moment they were filled with water, they were filled with satisfaction. You know what happens? You will end up singing songs, even if you're not a singer. This was after 40 years they were singing a song. When they came out of the land of Egypt, when they crossed the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15, under the singing of Miriam with the tambourine, they were singing a song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider went into the sea. Wonderful songs. After that Exodus 15, Israel is singing another song. When you experience the blessing of God, not because you have, they have received water before. They have received waters at Marah. They have received waters at Massa. They have received waters at Meribah. They were receiving water. But they never sang songs. Because they thought, I prayed, I got it. Even without praying, God knew. He said, assemble the people, I will give them water. And when they had that water, they started singing. Singing represents satisfaction of to the extent of expressing it out. That is why we have a time of corporate singing. Join us for corporate singing, my dear. It is a time when we experience the blessings of God and start singing unto the Lord, even if you're not a singer. That's fine. Join us in singing. It is biblical. Singing a song, okay? Let's move on. Now they keep traveling over and over again. Now we'll stop at verse 21. There is another thing that happens here. Please note it down under battles. King of Amorites, Sihon. King of Amorites, Sihon. If you remember this, Amorites, Sihon, I just want to give you this picture. I wish I could have kept this before as well. Amorites, Sihon, Amorites, Og. These are the two that we are going to meditate right now, these two. So they travel all the way down from Edom. That they are now somewhere here at the border. And they are going to occupy this land. They are going to occupy this land. Everything which is not Canaan. Which is not Canaan yet. But God started giving them the things that are not part of the promised land as well. So please note it down. The two things that we are going to see. King of the Amorites, Sihon. And King of Bashan, Og. Those are the two victories we see in the remainder of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We see how Israel passed through as they are experiencing, though they were had impatience, discouragement, etc. They were experiencing the blessing of the bronze serpent. They were experiencing water and they started singing praises unto the Lord. While they are journeying, they are singing praises. What a wonderful experience that is. You are traveling and you are singing. Traveling and singing. How many times? I don't know if you sing songs in your car. Do you? You travel and sing. Wonderful. It's a great experience, let me tell you. Even if you're alone, you can sing aloud. Traveling and singing for the blessings of what God has done. They haven't received the promised land yet, but they're kept on traveling. So, as they are experiencing the blessings of God, God is giving them victories over the enemies. King of Arad, King of Amorites, chapter 21, verse 21. Please read through it. They completely occupy the whole land of the Amorites. And then, in verse 33, they go to Bashan. That is also a set of Amorites. Bashan, Og. And they go there. And you know what God says in verse 34? Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand and all his people, his land. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of Amorites who lived in Heshbon. So they killed him and his sons and all the people. The enemies were defeated. God gave victories in these battles. That's how chapter 21 ends. Now, chapter 22, there's another king, which is the king of Moab. They were going through Amorites. But they didn't occupy the land of Moab yet. Moab, again, just to give you a picture of Moab here. There is Moab. Moab is here. They occupy these two already. Now they are here in Moab. Just Canaan is not too far off for them. This is all called plains of Moab, just to let you know. Plains of Moab. So now we see here, quickly, please note it down, King of Moab, Balak. This is another story. Just want to give you a picture of this particular incident. You might have heard of Balaam and Balak. Have you heard of it? Sometimes we get confused. Who is who? The way in which I remember is, the one who has the letter K is a king. Balak, king. And Balaam is the other person. Who is he? He is Balaam. Please note it down. Blessings by Balaam. King of Moab, Balak. Blessing by Balaam. These are the two things. What happened here? I don't know if you know this story, but just want to give you a very high-level picture of it. It's a study by itself. Chapter 22, 23, and 24 talk about this Balak and Balaam's story. In this particular context, this is what has happened, and we'll quickly finish this particular story because there are some important lessons that you and I need to learn. You know what Balak did? He understood that this king, people of Israel have already captured Arad, Amorites, Bashan, Sihon, and everyone they have captured. Now he became a little afraid. Moab. He's a king of Moab. What he did? He joined hands with another people called Midianites, and he said, I want to make a spell, divination, you know, some kind of a curse. Some people, you know, when the curse, then everything will be lost. So let me do one thing. Let me get someone. And that person's name is Balaam. They bring him all over from Euphrates River somewhere, Mesopotamia. He brings them. And he says, I heard, Balaam, the people whom you curse are cursed. The people whom you bless are blessed. So why don't you come and curse this people of Israel? There are so many people who are traveling all the way and trying to occupy our land. Without fighting, just by words, let us try to get this people of Israel, get cursed and not occupy our land. So he sent some leaders from Balak to Balaam. And Balaam says, I don't know what kind of a person he is. He's a mixed person. He does this soothsaying, you know, soothsaying, or I don't know what you call them. Chetabadi, I don't know what you call that. He does such kind of things. Such a terrible person. But God used that person. You know what he did? God told him, don't go. These are my people. Don't curse them. These Israelites, though they are rebellious people, though they are complaining people, they are my people. Don't ever open your mouth and curse them. So Balaam gets afraid. So he says, oh, okay, I'm not going to come. Just go. Then Balak sends more money. He gives more money and says, curse this people. So he goes again. And then Balaam says, he gets a little tempted. And he says, let me go again. And already God told don't. You know, sometimes when we are told no, we still want to go after. God, again, those people came. Do you think I should go and curse them? God, he lets him go. And when he lets him go, we are into chapter 23. He travels along. He rides his donkey. And he starts from his place to Moab. While he's riding on his donkey, the angel of the Lord comes in front of Balaam. Donkey sees the angel of the Lord, but Balaam, his eyes are blinded. He could not see that there's an angel of the Lord. But a donkey, an animal, saw the angel of the Lord and could not go, stopped. Then Balaam hit the donkey, struck the donkey and said, go, go. And then donkey with much difficulty goes again. The angel of the Lord stops. Donkey stops and says, oh, this is the angel of the Lord. I don't want to go. Balaam, he hits the donkey again. Read it, okay? I'm just giving you a summary. Third time, angel of the Lord stops. Balaam hits the donkey again, three times. And then God opens the mouth of a donkey. And let me tell you, this particular sermon could be titled Wandering in the Wilderness also. Wonders. Wandering. Why? God made the donkey speak in a human language. This has never happened. But with God, anything is possible. God prevented Balaam by letting the donkey open. Donkey opens its mouth and says, "Why are you hitting me 3 times? Have I not been carrying you all through? Why are you hitting me?" And that is when Balaam's eyes gets opened and he sees the angel of the Lord. And that is when he confesses and says, "My intention was to make more money and curse these people. Now whatever you tell, I will do. If you have me to go back, I will go." God says, "You're already in your journey. Go. But I want you to speak what I tell you to speak." So he goes. He goes and 4 times Balak forces him to curse Israelites. 4 times. Balaam, he says, "Whatever God tells me, I will speak. Whatever God tells me, I will speak. I will not speak even if you give me money. Only what God speaks, I will tell." God said to bless Israel, "I am going to bless Israel," period. God used a donkey. God used a Balaam to bless Israel. God can use anyone in order to bless his people. He used some prophet who is not a prophet of God. But because Balak brought that Balaam, God used Balaam and made his mouth speak blessing on Israel. Such is a God we have. No wonder I had to put a heading called blessing, blessing by Balaam. When he was forced to, God said, "Nobody can curse my people. Who are you? Who are you?" Isn't this wonderful for us to thank God that we have a God who prevents others from cursing us? He protected. He made the angel of the Lord come over and over again. He made the donkey speak. Why? To prevent these people. Let us see what he spoke. Wonderful oracles or wonderful words that Balaam has spoken. I'm just going to show you 2 of them. Just 2 of them, okay? Please join with me in reading those 2 verses. Please read Numbers chapter 23, verse 21. Please read along with me. "He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." Who is saying this? Balaam is saying this. Chapter 24, verse 17, he continues. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." Notice the words, king and star. Read Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Please read along with me. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there were wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we are come to worship him.'" They were referring to Numbers. These people, they were referring to what Balaam has said. A king, a star. We just finished last month, this particular viewpoint. We saw his star. A king of Jews is going to be born. Who is this? God revealed Jesus Christ through the mouth of Balaam. That is the story of Christmas. We are continuing in the month of January also the story of Christmas, because the Bible tells about the whole purpose of God. God has a purpose in making Balaam speak those words. 2 more verses. Please join with me in reading these important verses. If you want to make a note of it, you can note it down. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 5. Please read it. "Nevertheless, the Lord your God was not willing to listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you." Deuteronomy 23:5. Why did he turn the curse into blessing? Because he loves you. He loves you. He's turning the curse into blessing. He made a bronze serpent to be lifted up so that the curse will be turned into blessing. He's given you water so that you don't die, so that you'll be satisfied. Why? Because the Lord your God loves you. Let me tell you that small phrase. I just stopped myself when I was meditating and said, Lord, who am I, Lord? Why should you love me so much? You have turned the curse into a blessing. I'm born in sin. My destination is hell. The curse is hell. But you took the curse upon the tree. Cursed is a man who is lifted upon the tree. That is Jesus Christ. He took the curse and given you the blessing. All you need to do is just believe in him. Micah chapter 6 and verse 5. My people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and from Shittim to Gilgal, so that you might know the righteous acts of the Lord. God is referring to Balaam over and over and over again. Deuteronomy, Micah, is that it? Balaam is referred in the New Testament as well. Just 4 more verses. I just cannot stop sharing with you these things. Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. Please join with me. Numbers 31, 16. Behold, there caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. So the plague was among the congregation of the Lord. Through the counsel of Balaam, people committed sin. Did you know that? Balaam, though God used him to tell blessing, Balaam himself is a bad guy. Because of the counsel of Balaam, they committed sin. And plague came. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 15 and 16. Please join with me. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. When he rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Who is telling this? Peter. In 2 Peter, he is referring to Balaam. And he's saying, don't go the way of Balaam. Because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He wanted money. Is that it? Jude also wrote about him. Please read. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. We just meditated about Korah last week. Jude is reminding of the Old Testament stories. It's called Error of Balaam. And finally, Revelation. To one of the churches, the letter to the churches, Jesus says this. Please read along with me. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to, I think we missed that part at the bottom. Let me just read it aloud. Sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. The doctrine of Balaam. The four things. That itself is a study. The counsel of Balaam, the way of Balaam, error of Balaam, doctrine of Balaam. Many lessons that we can learn about Balaam. Finally, the blessing, let's see. The blessing to Phinehas. Blessing to Phinehas. Numbers chapter 25. I don't want to get deep into this story, but want to let you know that Israel once again started committing sin. This is the plague that is being talked about. Through the counsel of Balaam, they were committing sin. And then they started having immorality come into picture, and God brought plague to them. And Phinehas, the grandchild of Aaron, Aaron's son Eleazar, Eleazar's son Phinehas, what he does was, he has a great zeal for the Lord. He comes forward and attacks these people who are committing sin. He could not bear sin in the land of Israel. And for that, God says, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, in verse 11, chapter 25 and verse 11, has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them. Therefore, I will give him my covenant of peace and also my covenant of perpetual priesthood. The priests will continue from the lineage of Phinehas. The blessing was given to Phinehas, my dear. That is what we see here. When you are zealous for the Lord, God will put forth his blessings upon you. When you fight against the sin that is prevalent in the people, when you act as a priest for God, God will put forth his covenant of peace, covenant of priesthood, just as much he did on Phinehas, the blessing to Phinehas. That is what we see here. And we'll close here with this final thoughts, that God may guide us to learn these important principles. This verse that I have referred to, I want us to look at it once again. Numbers 21, verse 9. Please read along with me. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. John 3, 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I want us to read another verse, Isaiah 45, 22. Please read. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. God is saying this, look unto me. Don't look at others. Don't look at the things of this world. Don't look at how you can do it yourself. Just God is saying, focus your attention upon me, looking unto Jesus. Look unto me and be saved. They looked at the bronze serpent and they lived. Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross. Whoever believes in him, that is, looking unto Jesus means believing him, period. Look unto me and be saved. A great man of God by name Charles Spurgeon, he's also called C.H. Spurgeon. He was traveling to one place and he went to a small church. At that time, the actual preacher did not come because of some situation, and there was a local person who stood up, and he, he's not a regular preacher, so he referred to this verse, Isaiah 45, 22, and said, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God, there is none other. And he just explained that verse and said, don't look at anything. Look unto me. Look unto me. Look unto me. Look unto God who came down into this world to die for you on the cross. That was a moment that the heart of Charles Spurgeon changed. His life changed forever to believe in this Jesus Christ. Forever, his life has changed. And we refer to him and his sermons so many times. Charles Spurgeon. But this verse, Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be ye saved, was a turning point in his spiritual life. It could be a turning point in your life. Have you looked at him? Have you looked at him? You need Jesus. Look unto Jesus and be ye saved. So I want to close with this small picture. Do you have the faith to look to Jesus? Do you have it? We're not telling that you should burn incense against a cross or anything like that. No. You look unto him who died for you on the cross. Just looking unto him, believing that he came into this world to take the punishment of my sin, like that bronze serpent. He took the punishment for you, my dear. Just believing in him can change your life forever. Can change your life forever. Believing in him. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down. Have you looked at Jesus? Have you looked at Jesus? If not, you can have that experience today.
All you need to do is believe in him so that you may be saved. You may have eternal life. He died for you on the cross. We are going to remember Jesus Christ when we take part in the table that is set before us. Charles Spurgeon, on that day, when he understood that verse, "Look unto me and be saved," he gave his heart to Jesus. And he said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be a changed person. I've been hearing about you, but I never looked and never believed in this God." What is preventing you from believing in this God? "Look unto me and be saved." And there was a song that was sung after that. Charles Spurgeon says, "Ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save." And these are the two verses from a very familiar song which says, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Immanuelu raktamu chindina utaye," ani telugulo rasuntadi. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." Oh my dear, he died for you on the cross. The fountain of blood coming down from the cross of Calvary for your sake and my sake. All he's telling is, "Look unto me and be saved." Is there anyone here who is not able to have that personal experience and you want to say, "Lord, Lord, I want to look at you and be saved"? Anyone sitting here? All you need to do is look unto him. If you want, you can just raise your hand and say, "Brother, I want to look unto him and be saved." Anyone? Anyone? Just you need to say, with heart filled with belief in this God, "Look unto me and be saved." That's all. That's all matters. Look unto me and be saved. Believing in him will cause you to be experiencing salvation in your life. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." What a wonderful song that is. Just to let you know, the last two verses of this song are written on the tombstone of Charles Spurgeon, because it has impacted his life forever because of the blood of Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary for your sake and my sake. Believe in this Jesus. Don't leave him. How long will you keep waiting to believe in this Jesus? May the Lord enable us to have that personal experience. You can come and talk. If you have any questions, or if you have made that personal conviction saying, "Brother, I have believed in Jesus. I look unto him now. I want to experience the salvation of God." Gracious Father, loving God, I thank you for enabling us to look at you and to be saved. Thank you for you became that bronze serpent, lifted up on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Thank you for dying for me, dying for each one of us, so that we may live. I commit the sermon into your loving hands, asking you, Lord, that you may work in the lives of people. Not my words, but let your words have an impact in our lives. Help us not to go out of this place without Jesus in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.